League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everyone, from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. I am Dominique Gates. I'm joined by Tom Silverstein, checking in from the Combine as we're here on this Friday, about to wrap things up and head back to Wisconsin. They'll have drills and everything going on throughout the weekend, and we've been able to not only talk with GMs, players, and so many different other people, and watch a little bit of the workouts. And there's a lot that we can kind of run through that we've experienced throughout this week, Spoon. So I guess first things first, just what were your overall takeaways on, you know, what you've kind of seen from the week? And then we can kind of go from there and kind of break it all down. Just what were kind of general just impressions, if any?
Well, I mean, it all kind of started with Brian Gutekunst talking on Tuesday. And, you know, really that's – the Combine is a lot about free agency and what's going to transpire. The work that's being done here, you know, you really won't see the fruits of that until the draft actually takes place. It's really a lot of just chance to see the players one more time. The thing you got to remember about the Combine is that a lot of these teams already have their draft boards set, and all the Combine does is pretty much confirm or maybe it'll raise some questions to some guys if someone doesn't run very well or doesn't test very well. But, I mean, their boards are pretty set because they base it on how the guys performed in college. So, with that said, you know, Gutekunst came here and he's looking at players, but he also met with us, the beat guys, beat people, to talk about the future of the Packers. And I think, of course, the number one story was Jaire Alexander. And all indications are he's not going to be with the team next year, and they're going to either trade him or cut him. And I know his camp, Alexander's camp, would prefer it be done right away so that he gets a chance to jump onto another team. And I think Gutekunst would prefer to trade him, get something. But I don't know what the trade partners are going to be, and I don't think he's going to be able to get a lot for him. I think a lot of people know that he's going to probably get rid of him. And he's not going to trade him to an NFC team, I would bet. He doesn't want Jaire Alexander having the pick six in the NFC Championship game against him. So, you know, that's going to have to play out, but I think it will. I think it will in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Free agency starts on March 12th. And that was a big part of it. But he also, you know, he also kind of confirmed that, you know, the Packers needs, as we all thought, you know, come down to cornerback, wide receiver, pass rusher, and not necessarily in that order. I think, you know, it was a chance to kind of catch up with where the Packers are, you know, heading into the offseason. And there's still a lot of questions out there.
As far as with Jaire, just and that trade value, just how difficult and how tricky will that be because of just the history with injuries? And I don't know, how do you kind of navigate that? I guess what's just the slippery slope, I guess, that you're kind of dealing with when you're trying to trade an injured player?
Yeah, I think a lot of teams are skeptical. I think they see his talent and are, you know, there's going to be some team with a ton of cap room out there that might just say, hey, let's just guarantee that we get him by trading for him. We take on his salary at $17 million. It's really not bad for a starting corner. And there's no bonus money they have to pay. The cap number is exactly $17 million. So from that standpoint, it's kind of attractive. The other standpoint is, well, are you going to pay that money and risk the injury? You know, do you want to have a contract that's a little more, has some safeguards in it? I don't know. I don't think there's a bunch of teams running out to trade for him. I think more teams are going to just wait. But it only takes one team to make a trade, and so I'm sure Gutekunst is working the rooms.
Yeah, I guess another thing that came up when talking with Gutekunst was just different contracts. As far as anyone from, you know, Brandon McManus and the Quay Walkers, Devontae Wyatts of the world, T.J. Slayton, so many different guys that will be in just different situations with their contracts, whether it be free agency like a Josh Myers or maybe those fifth-year option type of situations. And I know it was a few days ago, but do you kind of have any senses of what Gutekunst might do with some of these guys, or if maybe if your opinion are some those guys that it will be very crucial for them to try to lock down and get them signed? Are there any guys that you kind of think of from the Packers?
Well, though, I'm sure they will try to re-sign McManus. They'll give it their best. I would guess that McManus wants to see what the market is, and I'd be surprised if he signed before the start of free agency. Now, you know, his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, I'm sure is running around Indy asking, you know, GMs if they're interested in a kicker and what would they pay for it. Maybe the market gets set here at the Combine and McManus agrees to sign with the Packers before free agency. They let him test free agency. You know, they can't reach an agreement. And if he gets a deal better than what the Packers are offering, maybe then they have to a decision whether to match it or not. T.J. Slayton, I'm sure they want him back, and I'm sure they've had discussions. But, you know, it could be a situation where a team throws a lot of money at him and the Packers don't value him, because he only plays about 20 snaps a game for them. Maybe they wouldn't value him as a $10, $15 million a year player. So I think that's another one that'll go to free agency, and they'll see what the market is and then make a decision. Same with Josh Myers. I don't see them really signing anybody before the start of free agency. Maybe some lesser guys, Eric Wilson type guys. But, you know, the big free agents, Isaiah McDuffie, I think they'll all test the market. They want to see, you know, with the salary cap going up like $24 million, I think they all want a bite at the apple, at the free agent apple. So I don't see many deals getting done ahead of time. The one thing that could happen are trades. You know, there's trades out there, there's teams looking. You know, a lot of players have asked to be traded. I'm sure the Packers would love to have, you know, Myles Garrett or Deebo Samuel. But anytime you hear a player who wants to be traded, you have to gauge, okay, who does he play for, and would that team trade with the Packers? San Francisco is not going to give Deebo Samuel to the Packers. They're direct competitors for the NFC. Myles Garrett's going to take two first-round draft chases to pry him out, and I don't know if anybody's going to do that. There's other guys who are asking for to be traded, and so just keep in mind who the team is that's trading for him. So we'll see if any of those deals come about before free agency.
I think that's always the one thing that's very interesting that people tend to forget in terms of what comes with the trades, whether it is a Max Crosby, but even the really interesting ones, like you said, a Deebo Samuel. It's like, these are competitors. They're not just going to here you go, have a really, really good receiver that you can now beat us and maybe go to a Super Bowl. So I think that's one of the points that a lot of like the fans that aren't in the inside, if you will, they kind of miss the point of that. As far as when we are here at the Combine, obviously there's a bunch of guys that we talk to and from different position groups. And like I said, we kind of keyed in on those areas that you would imagine the Packers were big on, with the receivers, the pass rush, and the DBs. A lot of young guys. One thing that made me laugh is just, I love the confidence from these 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be the best. I'm going to take the world on by storm. So it'll be fun when they get to the NFL and you have that kind of welcome to the league moment. Man, there were, just like I said, so many guys. Were there a few that maybe stood out? And I guess we can maybe just start with one in particular that stood out to me, was Donovan. Do you remember the last name?
Izaruku,
right? Yeah, the Boston College guy. What do you just kind of remember from that conversation?
Well, we might as well start with the edge rushers, because that is a position or defensive line that I think is primary for the Packers. I think I think we have to talk about the possibility of them drafting more of an edge rush type guy. They've mostly drafted defensive end type guys like Rashawn Gary, who's 277 pounds, or Lucas Van Ness, who's 260 maybe, 265, I can't really remember. Enagbare, you know, he's 250, 260. So will they take a 240-pound guy? And Izuruka's a guy who played for Jeff Hafley at Boston College, led the nation in sacks, was 16 and a half, very quick off the edge. There's a lot of question as to where he'll go in the draft. Is he worth going in the first round? Is he a second round pick? Is he a mid, first to second? It'd be interesting, you know, when he runs, when how his all of his testing does. But he's got production. 16 and a half sacks is nothing to sneeze at. And he's a speed rusher, interesting type guy, and he does play the run pretty well. So he's a guy I would think they would be looking at. You know, he's got the relationship with Hafley. You know, whether that means Gutekunst likes him, that's the bottom line. Gutekunst has to like him. But there's so many edge type guys that are available. The defensive line, including the edge guys, is probably the deepest position. And I think Gutekunst said he could still get guys in the fourth round that are, quality defensive linemen. So I don't think there's a hurry to get one, but I think if there's a pass rusher that's available, I mean, there's a few guys that just aren't going to be there. I don't know if Mike Green from Marshall, he's just a speed demon. James Pierce, who just ran a 4.5. I mean, the Packers have some wide receivers who don't run 4.5, you know.
Like Mykel Williams at Georgia.
Yeah, Mykel Williams, he's got a chance to go really high. I don't know who will fit him. But then there's some defensive tackles, too, some big guys who, you know, especially if they lose T.J. Slayton, they got to consider, you know. Big guys don't grow on trees, especially ones who can move. And, you know, you got Kenneth Grant is a guy from Michigan who I'm sure they're impressed with. Shamar Stewart is going to be a really interesting guy from Texas A&M. He's just mad athletic. I mean, he's like Rashawn Gary. He's Rashawn Gary athletic. Now, his production was kind of like Rashawn Gary in college. It's not great. So you have to sort of make that decision. Is he going to be able to translate? Is all that athletic ability going to translate in the NFL? I think he had like 4.5 sacks in 3 years at A&M. And, but man, then you see him, he has a 40-inch vertical. He ran the 40-yard dash in, 4.59 or something like that. You know, we're talking about a 290-pound guy. That's a guy that there will be a lot of debate amongst teams as to whether he's just an athlete or whether he's a player. There's a teammate of his, Nick Skouten, who's a 20-year-old guy, has got a lot of room to grow, but he's a nice edge rusher that, that Texas A&M program, as the Packers well know, with Edgerrin Cooper, produces some really good defensive players. And so that'll be a guy they're looking at. I would expect them to come away with at least two defensive linemen in this draft.
Yeah, that would be really that stood out. And that's one thing that's caught my attention in this draft class is just there's a lot of depth from the line, D-line, O-line. There's just a lot of talent there. There are some receivers. Talked to some on this Friday, a couple of guys that I talked to. Who knows, like you say, where they might be drafted, like Isaiah Bond or Matthew Golden from Texas. And who are some guys that you also talked to and just kind of takeaways from some of those comments, if any?
Yeah, so the receiver position isn't great. It's not there isn't a bunch of high-end guys. I mean, Travis Hunter might wind up being the best receiver of them all, and – or he might be the best cornerback in the draft, or both. I don't know. He probably is both. Has the potential to be both. I don't know. The Packers have not taken a wide receiver in the draft since 2004. And then before that, I think the last wide receiver they took was Sterling Sharp in 88. So, I don't think it's a year that they take a guy in the first round, but there are some really intriguing guys in the second round, big guys. Big guys who can block, who have really good hands. Kid from Illinois, and now his name is escaping me. I just talked to him about 5 minutes ago. That's how my brain has worked.
End of the week.
Right now, yeah. He is a big man who was used all over the offense, slot, outside. He could block. He's a big threat in the red zone. Those are the type of guys. I think they can get someone like that in the second round, and they've done really well in the second round. You mentioned Isaiah Bond. He's a good all-around wide receiver. Can probably play in the slot, could probably play outside as well. The kid from Ohio State is probably going to be the top wide receiver. He's not in the Marvin Harrison mold, and he's probably not as good as that freshman kid they have at Ohio State, whose name escapes me right now. He's a quality, solid guy, and they churn out good wide receivers at Ohio State. So if he falls to the Packers, would they consider it? I don't know. I think they would do well with some really big type guys with some speed. There are some guys with some speed that will, do well, I think, in the NFL, and they can be picked in the second and third round.
I think that was the one thing I was going to find interesting in terms of the route they went with receiver, because when you're losing Christian Watson, who was a tall guy in your deep threat, it's like, do you try to replace that with, you could say, a big time receiver instead of like a small speedy guy, because you already have like the Jaden Reeds of the world. So I was really fascinated in how they'll probably try to attack that, and I guess that's kind of what you're saying too.
Yeah, and there's a few guys who can really run too. There's some guys I think who will put up really good numbers, some big guys who will put up really good numbers. And the thing that the thing that the Packers need, in my opinion, is guys who attack the ball. And some of these bigger guys attack the ball. A couple of them were quarterbacks, and they know, or defensive backs or wide receivers. They're wide receivers now. Some of them were quarterbacks. They have big hands, and they attack the ball. And I think the Packers need a big guy like that. I don't think they have to try to find a 4.38 guy like Watson. If they find a guy who can run a 4.4, yeah, I think they're all over it. But there's some combination guys that will do well.
So the last, I guess, area was corners. And also, I guess you kind of have to preface it with saying, in terms of with all of these meetings and when the players talk, they're not going to say anything. They're pretty much sworn to secrecy by these NFL teams. So, you're not going to get a really good sense of the conversations or what's said. But at least they'll confirm if they talk to the Packers or not. So a bunch of those guys did at least confirm that they had some formal conversations. A lot of the names that we've mentioned up to this point on the podcast. And so now when we get to the cornerback group, some of the names and guys that you kind of had some conversations with, and just kind of what you gathered from when you looked at some of those prospect lists that you gathered.
Yeah, I just wanted to go back to a couple of the wide receivers that I talked to, and because my brain is mush. Matthew Golden, he's a 6 foot, 195 guy from Texas. He could be in the running. Trey Harris from Mississippi, he's 6'3", 210. I talked to Pat Bryant from Illinois. He's a monster, 6'3", 200. He can run. He's a, one of these. He's like a Malik Heath. He's like an athletic Malik Heath. And you see a bunch of guys like that. Savion Williams from Illinois is 6'5", I'm sorry, from TCU is 6'5", 225. And he has played running back. Like, they used him at running back. He's like a Deebo Samuel type guy. Probably not the same speed and quickness, but teams are talking to him about, you know, how he could be used like Deebo Samuel. So there are some really interesting guys in that receiver class, just not the top end guys. So now we're talking about corners?
Yes.
Yeah. So I wrote about that this morning and on Friday morning, and there's some really big corners. So the Packers, you know, their size at corner is not great. You know, Carrington Valentine's decent size. I mean, Keyshawn Nixon is adequate. But, you know, they went high with Jair Alexander and took a chance. He's 5'10 and a quarter, I think, 198, well built. But, you know, guys that height, that size, injury is, it's tough. They have to go in, and these days, especially zone teams, those guys got to come up and tackle. And so there are some big corners that I think the Packers will be interested in. Some of the guys I mentioned, Shannon Revell from East Carolina, he's a big guy. Now, he's coming off an ACL tear, but he might have been a first-round pick if he hadn't hurt himself. He's 6'3", 193. He can run. He's a really good zone player. That's a guy they'll have to think of. He'll be ready probably in the middle of training camp. So it's questionable what he'll be able to give in the season, but he will be at some point ready. Darian Porter's a guy from Iowa State. He's 6'4", 200, and he's going to run probably under 4'4", or right around 4'4". And he's a special teams demon. He blocked four punts, blocked a field goal. He is an all-purpose guy that, you know, if he couldn't come in and play corner right away, he'd be one of your core special teams guys right away. Trey Amos from Mississippi, he's a 6'1", 200-pound guy. I think, you know, another guy who's got some height. Jadae Barron from Texas, he's going to be one of the top receivers probably. Not a huge guy, but he's 5'11", and that's big enough. And he could probably play in the slot for you if you need him. Probably be a tough guy to, you know, be able to tackle and do some things in the slot. So there's a decent amount of guys that they should be able to get either late first round or second round, third round.
And the good thing is you can go to our website. You can go to Journal Sentinel and all of these names and all these prospect lists. This guy to my right took care of that. And that's just been great. So it's been good for me to even go back and look at some of those as well. So, Spoon, anything else? Anything you need to wrap it up with? Any closing words or takeaways? Anything you want to say?
It's always interesting to see the guys that will be drafted, and you always wonder, you know, of all the guys you interviewed, which one's going to be picked. I'll never forget last year. I was went to the workouts just to watch. It happened to be the linebackers' day. And I was interested in the middle linebackers because I thought the Packers might be looking for somebody. And I'll never forget watching Edgerrin Cooper do the, the ball drills and the movement in space. And I was just, my mouth was agape because he was just so heads and tails above everybody else in terms of speed. And then when they picked him, you know, I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. I remember him from the combine. And then I remember seeing him in the spring practice in the June mini camp. And he made this one-handed interception. And I was like, okay, you know, they got a player there. That rarely happens that you can follow a guy from the combine to, you know, mini camp to the season. And he turns out to be a good player. Excuse me. You know, you try to find out who some of those guys are being, and sometimes they wind up with other teams, guys you've interviewed and you think are going to be good players, and they wind up with other teams and they turn out to be good players. So it's always fascinating to see how all of that happens, and it'll be I don't think anyone can predict, you know, at number 23 who the Packers are going to take. I think those three positions are primary, but maybe they wind up taking offensive tackle. I don't know, again, you know. Running back, there's a – I forgot to mention that the running back class is extremely heavy. It's really good running back class, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers dip into it once more. You know, they like Marshawn Lloyd, but, you know, he's hurt all year, and it never hurts to have another running back. So I would expect them to dip into that pool at some point. If it's a strength of the draft, you might as well use it. So, other than that, it's been a pretty typical combine, and I think one of the big differences is the Packers haven't had a ton of free agents. They just don't have the same. There's no Aaron Rodgers holding, you know, sitting out there. They don't have some kind of guy like a Rashawn Gary or Alexander or whatever, you know, hanging out there who needs to be signed. And so it's been fairly quiet from the free agent standpoint. So, you know, the next key date is March 12th. That's when teams can start signing free agents. But on March 10th, they can start officially talking. It's a tampering period. They can begin talking and making deals. Sometimes these deals are made here and way beforehand, and it's a secret. But that's the next milestone, and that's going to come up in 2 weeks. And there'll be a lot. We'll see what happens. I don't think the free agent market is going to be what it was last year. I think there's a lot of teams that are going to find ways to keep their guys. You know, I think Cincinnati will find a way to keep T. Higgins. You know, I don't think some of these guys who've been rumored to be traded, like Max Crosby. Yeah, I think Max Crosby won't be traded. And then some of the other free agent, it's just going to be hard to get a Xavier McKinney and a Josh Jacobs. Gutekunst will have to do a really good job to find those guys. And you're going to have to overpay. You're going to have to possibly mess up your pay scale because the cap's gone up so much. And when the cap goes up, players' expectations for being paid go up. Mm-hmm. And so teams will be throwing a lot of money out there for guys who maybe are marginal players. So Gutekunst has to make that decision. You know, I need to improve my team, but how much am I willing to pay for it? So I'm very interested to see what he does in free agency.
Me too, especially for, you know, he reiterated again this week the whole it's time to start competing for championships for the Packers. So I'm wondering how aggressive he's going to be, how much money he's going to be using, like what is he going to do to try to get a certain type of player. So, again, it's going to be fun to see what March looks like and then obviously going into April for the draft. But, Spoon, we made it. We got through the combine. Did you have fun?
Another combine. Yeah, I wouldn't say it was fun.
Oh, yeah, you were with me, right?
Yeah, it was. I would say it was work. And so it was interesting and it was good to see some old colleagues, you know, too. And, you know, this is one of the places where you can see all the beat guys that you know from all the years past. And you usually only see them at a single game if they happen to play. But everybody's gathered here. And so it's kind of fun to see that and meet up with people. And, you know, otherwise it's been just a good chance to get started on evaluating the draft. So, yeah, it's been a good week. Yeah.
I mean, what is the hardest part? Just the work or, like, spending the week with me?
Well, I've done a pretty good job of burying my head in my laptop so that you have been not had to deal with me and vice versa. No, it's been fun. We had a good trip driving down from Milwaukee and, you know, we have another 4 hours, six if we get stuck in traffic in Chicago. But no, it's been very enjoyable. I hope you've learned a lot from your first combine. Let's go home.
Yeah, it's been fun. I've enjoyed it. Yeah, enjoyed the road trip. By the way, guys, Spoon has great music taste. Yeah, so I was really enjoying, you know, we went to some like 90s rap and we threw in even a little Kendrick Lamar. You know, we had a lot of fun. So
I did not make you listen to Talking Heads, which I had introduced K Cassidy and Ryan too, and they had no idea who they were. So yeah, I just have given up on that one. But yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So like I said, we've hung out. You know, we've been to Stevie Wonder concerts together and all. So we've done a lot of good things. But here's one thing I want to end it with. It's a question that I get a lot from people on social media, and believe it or not, I probably shouldn't. I do read comments, but the Packers fans, and I'll even say the Tom Silverstein fans, yeah, there's a lot of them.
Fans?
They do. They always ask, though, I would hope you would, if you'd be willing to answer the question, where did the nickname Spoon originate? Can you share for everyone what that is?
Yeah, I guess I can. I don't usually, but...
If not, I can cut it out.
No, it's okay. So... When I was in college, I was stringing for the Madison Capital Times, and there was a guy there who was pretty funny, and you know, we covered a lot of the same things. And so in the 70s, there was a guy named Nick Witherspoon who was a basketball player, and everybody just called him Spoon. And so, you know, my last name is Silverstein. There was a TV show called Silver Spoons. Mm-hmm. So, you know, first he started calling me Silver Spoons, and then it just kind of got to Spoon, and it was just, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden everybody started calling me that, and then coaches, you know, even started calling me that. And my family doesn't call me that. My cousins, my friends don't call me that, but in the work setting, somehow that just set in. So that's the great story. It has nothing more than that, you know. So now everybody knows.
Yeah, it's a great story, and that's the best thing, because like I said, LaFleur will be saying it in his press conferences, and everyone will. So I love the nickname. I don't have any good nicknames, or at least I don't have any that are appropriate to say on camera that people have called me. So I think that was great. So definitely appreciate you sharing that. And yeah, let's get back to Wisconsin, and let's get some sleep, because I don't sleep well in hotel beds.
So. All right. Yep, same thing.
Thank you all for checking out this Green 19 podcast coming from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. For the Hall of Fame guy, Mr. Tom Silverstein, I'm Dominic Yates.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.